Hello, beloved of God. Welcome to Faith Talk Ministries Radio Show. I'm your host, the lover of words. Tune in with us and we can have Faith Talk. Faith Talk is sharing the word of God or talking about what God has done for you. You can visit our website at www.faithtalkministries.com or you can email us at staff@faithtalkministries.com. Our mailing address is Faith Talk Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 831376, Stone Mountain, Georgia 30083. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Oh God, you have given me this great ministry, and I just got out of a hotel room doing drugs all night with a prostitute. What would my congregation think? What would my wife think? What do you think about me, seeing as though I have embarrassed you? I am finished. I think I would just kill myself. Lord God, I just received salvation last Sunday, and now I'm sleeping with my boyfriend again. There is no way that I could have really gotten saved because I'm still sinning. Father God, please forgive me. I just slept with one of my soldiers' wives, and she is pregnant. If that wasn't bad enough, I had my general place her husband in the toughest part of the battle, and now he is dead. Oh God, how can my seed sit on the throne forever? I am a worthless, adulterous murderer. Jesus Christ, I love you so much, but I have been dancing in the strip club for 3 years, and all I do is snort cocaine all night and leave with different guys every night. There is no way that you can save me. I am nothing but a drug-using prostitute. My grandmother keeps asking me to come to church and says that I will hear the words of life, but there are no words that can give those three young men life again, whom I killed to be a part of this gang that I run with. I have killed three innocent young men, and I don't even know their names. There is no hope for me. I will rot in hell. Father, please help me. I thought I would die for you, but when the pressure was on, I denied you three times. You told me that I was a rock and that you would build your church on the type of faith that I possess. I don't feel so faithful seeing as though I have denied my Lord and Savior when I thought in my mind that I was ready to die for you. Lord, please forgive me. I can't even stand to look at myself. Every time I hear a rooster crow, I just die inside. Why was I so weak when I thought I was so strong in faith? How could I have denied you when I know that you are the only one that has the words of life? Why am I such a coward and why am I such a liar? I know that there is no way that I will ever be able to forgive myself. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This is Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32. Father God, I have been telling people that they have to forgive everyone who wrongs them. Why am I having thoughts about killing my friend who betrayed me? I know you said in your word that vengeance belonged to you. Why am I trying to take revenge in my own hands? What is wrong with me? Have I not believed your word? Did I not really love my friend? Why am I having these thoughts? Welcome to Faith Talk Ministries radio broadcast. I'm your host, the lover of words. I was riding down 285 headed to work when the Lord came to me and told me to set my mouth free. Actually, I was thinking that he wanted me to teach his word, and I was making up all kinds of excuses. I said in my heart that I had done so many terrible things and that people would not be able to receive the word of God from me. God then told me to look up, and I saw a bulletin board that said, "Set your mouth free." At first, I didn't know what that meant until about 6 or 7 months later, I received this radio show. Satan loves to try and cause some type of distraction to keep God's children from fulfilling his vision for their lives. God Almighty told David that his seed would sit on the throne forever. David was the same man who committed adultery with the man's wife, got her pregnant, and then had her husband killed. God told Gideon that he was a mighty man of valor and that he was going to save Israel by his hand. Gideon responded with, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." This is Judges chapter 6, verse 15. These are the kinds of tests that you will have to stand through once God has blessed you. God will tell you to do something, or he will show you his plan for your life, and Satan will come in with some type of smoke screen that makes the plan look unattainable. Which brings us to today's topic. Can you pass the faith test? Oh yes, you will have obstacles that are before you anytime you are going into the promised land. Do you remember when God told the Israelites to go into the promised land and 12 spies were sent out? Well, only 2 of the 12 spies came back with a faith report. The rest came back and said that there were giants in the land and they looked like grasshoppers in their own sight. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This is Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. When God tells you something and Satan shows you the obstacles that look impossible to overcome, can you pass the faith test? Our scripture reading will come from Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. However, before we unpack this rhema word, I would like to play a song by R. Kelly called "The Storm Is Over Now." Listen.
I was in a tunnel and couldn't see the light. And whenever I'd look up, I couldn't see the sky. Sometimes when I'm standing, it seems like I've been walked for miles. And my heart could be crying, dead in the middle of a smile. But then I climbed the hills and saw the mountains. I hollered help cause I was lost. Then I felt the strong wind. Heard a small voice saying the storm is over.
Storm is over now. And
I can see the sunshine
somewhere beyond the clouds.
I feel heaven, yeah.
Heaven is over me.
Come on and set me free. Whoa. Now in the midst of my battle, all hope was gone. Downtown in a rush crowd and felt all alone. Every now and then I felt like I would lose my mind. I've been racing for years and still no finish line. Oh, but then I climbed the hills and saw the mountains. I hollered help cause I was lost. Then I felt the strong wind. And then a small voice saying the storm is over.
Storm is over now.
And I can see the sunshine
somewhere beyond the clouds.
I can feel heaven.
Heaven, yeah, is over me. Oh,
come on and set me free. Somehow my beginning stepped right in. Then faith became my friend. And now I can begin on the voices of a wind. When it's saying, storm is over.
Storm is over now.
And I can see the sunshine. Just set me free. The storm is over.
Storm is over now.
And I can see the sunshine
beyond the clouds.
I can feel heaven, yeah.
Heaven is over me.
Won't you come and set me free? Won't you come and set me free?
Amen. Hallelujah. That was an excellent song by R. Kelly. Some of us have been given blessings, vocations, visions, and a destiny by God. Satan has tried to throw us in a tunnel so that we can't see the provision of God. But we, as the children of God, walk by faith and not by sight. As a matter of fact, our faith is our sight. Like Abraham, we call the things that be not as though they were. God Almighty has prepared us for Satan's traps, and we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul said it like this: we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Most of the time, right when we are on the brink of a major breakthrough, the enemy tries to pull something that causes us to doubt. Remember when Peter was walking on water? He was walking fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off God, he began to sink. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and never look at the waves of doubt as we are entering into the promised land. For those of you who are just tuning in, I'm your host, The Love of Words. Welcome to Faith Talk Ministries radio broadcast. I would like to take this time to invite you to visit our website at www.faithtalkministries.com. We have an online Bible and concordance, sermons, a blog, games, online donations, Christian news, articles, shopping, and testimonies from believers all over the world called Faith Experiences. We would love for you to visit and leave us your comments. Our topic today is, can you pass the faith test? The scripture reading is Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. When we're in the midst of a blessing or a major victory in God, there always seems to be roadblocks and obstacles that we have to press through. In other words, we have to exercise our faith in order to get the victory. I heard someone say, have you ever noticed that the hardest yard to get is when you are right at the goal line? I have seen a team inches from the goal line and have to exert more force than they did to get the other 99 yards. It's something about when you are about to enter a victory. Satan, his demons, doubt, fear, anxiety, and worry seem to fight against us relentlessly. Observe what took place between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. She came to Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter. Jesus responded and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. This is Matthew chapter 15, verse 26. Did you hear what just happened? First, Jesus told her that he was only sent to the Israelites. Then he turned around and called her a dog. Now be honest. If you went to a man that you perceived to be a prophet and he called you a dog, most of you would have responded with the word that started with F and ended with a U. Right then you would have been offended and missed your blessing. Most of us would probably have walked away using God's name in vain and saying all kinds of things about Mary. Not this lady. She knew who Jesus was, and she was rich in faith. She wasn't going to let an insult keep her from her blessing. She loved her daughter, and she had come too far to let the Savior of the world pass her by. Look at how she fought through this obstacle. She responded in faith and said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow, this woman passed the faith test. Jesus let her know by saying, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. If you notice, Jesus tested her to see if she would pass the faith test. God sometimes checks to see where our faith is. It is written, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Do you remember the story of Joseph, Jacob's son? God gave him a dream about his future. In the dream, his whole family was bowing down before him. He told his father and his brothers about the dream, and his brothers got jealous. They were also envious because their father loved him most of all. Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him, but instead they threw him in a pit and then sold him as a slave to some men going to Egypt. God was with Joseph, and he ended up working as a slave for a man named Potiphar. Potiphar became very fond of Joseph and placed him over his substance. Well, Potiphar's wife also became very fond of Joseph and wanted to sleep with him. Joseph feared God and fled from the temptation. Potiphar's wife then lied to her husband and said that Joseph tried to rape her. Potiphar then threw Joseph in jail. The captain of the jail became fond of Joseph and placed him in charge of the prisoners. While Joseph was in jail, he met Pharaoh's chief baker and chief butler. Each one of them had a dream that troubled them. By the wisdom of God, Joseph interpreted their dreams. He told the butler that he would be released from jail and for him to remember him when he was back with Pharaoh. He told the baker that he would be killed. The butler did not remember Joseph until Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret, and the chief butler remembered that what Joseph had done for him. He then told Pharaoh, and Joseph was brought before Pharaoh. Joseph told Pharaoh that he couldn't interpret dreams, but God could. Pharaoh told Joseph the dream, and God gave Joseph the interpretation. Joseph warned Pharaoh about the famine that was coming and told him how to prepare for it. Pharaoh believed Joseph and placed him in charge of the whole kingdom. He only answered to Pharaoh. Pharaoh made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. People came from every country to buy food from Joseph because the whole world was in a famine. Even Joseph's brother had to come before him and buy grain. There was a lot more events that took place, but time wouldn't permit us to tell of them all. But Joseph's brothers ended up bowing before him, just like in his dream. But the important part of this whole story is how Joseph had to pass the faith test. God has shown him the end from the beginning, and he had to fight through the obstacle of being sold as a slave by his brothers. Then he had to fight through the obstacle of being set up by Potiphar's wife. Then he had to fight through the obstacle of being forgotten by the butler. Lastly, he had to fight through the temptation of holding on to unforgiveness and executing vengeance against his brothers. Joseph passed the faith test. He forgave his brothers, was reconciled with his father, and was placed in a position of authority by God Almighty to save his people. Joseph told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." This is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph passed the faith test and ended up saving the world. He pressed through fear, doubt, pride, and unforgiveness. I would like to ask each and every one of you this question one more time. Can you pass the faith test? Peter, who was called the Rock, had to press through the guilt of denying Jesus 3 times. He had to press through Satan coming to him in his mind saying, "You are not a real believer. You chickened out when the rubber met the road. You don't have what it takes to preach the kingdom of God. You're not really sold out to God. I bet you don't even really believe." Peter had to press through that and show us that our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul went around killing Christians. He called himself the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church. Paul had to pass the faith test. He had to press through the guilt of persecuting his Lord and Savior. He had to forgive himself. Sometimes everyone else will forgive us, but we have the hardest time forgiving ourselves. Paul pressed through Satan's trap and wrote in the most scripture in the New Testament. He penned this famous scripture that a lot of us quote on New Year's Eve. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We have to forgive ourselves and move forward in our callings. In conclusion, I would like to leave you with this. Some of you have been saved and are still making some of the same mistakes you did in the past. Yes, God still loves you and you are still saved. God said in his word that no one will be able to pluck you out of his hand. See, if you think that you have been saved because of your own righteousness, you have missed the whole purpose of Jesus Christ. If we are righteous and good enough to save ourselves, then we wouldn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and our righteousness is as a filthy rag. We have been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, so no man can boast. Please, beloved of God, stop beating yourselves up and allowing Satan to place you in an independent, self-righteous spot. God never meant for us to be able to do anything on our own. He meant for us to be strong in faith and depend on Him. When we are weak, God is strong. When you have reached a place that you no longer can depend on yourself, then you are right where God wants you. We, as the children of God, we have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a pastor, a deacon, or a minister, and you have fallen back into some of the same sins that God had once delivered you from, don't let Satan fool you into thinking that you are not worthy to preach the gospel. None of us are worthy to preach the gospel. We are all preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ based on His mercy and grace. If you have been saved and you have fallen back into doing drugs, don't give up, because God promised that He would not start a work that He would not finish. God Almighty will still finish His life in you. If you are a pastor and you have made some serious mistakes, don't let Satan trick you out of your ministry. Confess your sins. Apologize to God for embarrassing both of you. Forgive yourself and get back to work. Now, like Peter, you have been reminded that without Him, you can do nothing. Now you are really ready for ministry. I don't think there is any squeaky clean minister. God said, if you say you don't have any sin, then you make Him a liar. I think that pretty well covers the fact that we all have sin. If you are a prostitute, drug dealer, exotic dancer, or into some other type of immoral business, please don't give up on God, because He will never give up on you. You have to believe His word when He says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe this? If you pray this prayer and believe this in your heart, you are saved. I don't care if you mess up 100 times. God can still deliver you. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We are righteous because of our faith, not because of following a bunch of rules. Some of you are probably wondering why you still sin after you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this in Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. But I can't help myself, because it is sin inside of me that makes me do these evil things. I know I am rotten through and through, so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. But if I am doing what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. The sin within me is doing it. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ will deliver us from this body of death. He has started a work in us, and He will finish it. God has shined His marvelous light in our hearts. If you stay in His word, believe His word, and seek after Him with your whole heart, God will transform you with His love and renew your mind with His word. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God sends us His Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. The Holy Spirit teaches us what is wrong, and if we walk in the Spirit, we will defeat our flesh. You have to fight against your flesh as if you was in a fist fight for your life. We have to beat our flesh down with the Word of God and faith in order to do what is pleasing in God's sight. We cannot do this on our own. If you are condemning yourself because you made a mistake, then you are still thinking that you're righteous on your own. No, you are righteous because the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you keep that in mind, you will keep mistakes in the proper perspective. Can you pass the failures, obstacles, and strongholds that Satan presents in your lives and pass the faith test? I would like to give a personal testimony of how my faith got tested. And I believe with the grace of God that I did pass the faith test. It got a little shaky at the end, but God has never forsaken me. So I knew either way that I was going to be in the right place. A couple of months ago, my job decided to downsize. They sold their billing department. Basically, they turned over their billing operations to another company. And all of us had to interview for our jobs again. Well, I interviewed for my job again, and the human resource people told me that I had a job, that I had received a job from the other company that was hiring us. And so one Thursday, I went to the other company's all hands meeting to find out about the benefits. As I was in the room listening to the benefits, I noticed that they didn't call my name. And then shortly after that, I went out the room and I called the human resource lady and was like, hey, they didn't call my name. So I know they extended me a job. Why didn't they call my name? She said, well, hold on a minute. Let me call you right back. So she got the phone and I guess she made a couple calls and she came back and told me that they had made a mistake. She said they didn't offer me a job. So at that point, my faith was shaken. I was like, wow. Man, it's sad. I told all my friends that I had a job, and now they're saying I don't have a job. It just sounded kind of weird. And then God reminded me that He had always showed Himself faithful to me, and that no matter what position I was in, He still was going to be the one that took care of me, whether I got the job or didn't get the job. Well, I talked with my mom, and she was telling me, she said, hey, God gave you that job, you know. Satan is just trying to block it and call you and you're being tested right now. You need to at least let them know that you do want the job. So I spoke with a couple of people in human resources and just let them, you know, just basically ask some questions. And about 2 weeks later, right before we was getting ready to change over, they called me back and said that I had been extended a job offer. And right then and there, I just praised God for being faithful. See, Satan tried to bring up that obstacle and said that I didn't have a job, but I pressed through and I passed the faith test. I challenge all of you, whether you're a minister, a lay person, or just somebody who loves God, or just somebody who's interested in learning to know God. Don't let Satan steal your victory. Press through and pass the faith test. God bless all of you. Thank you for tuning in to Faith Talk Ministries. And remember, press through all of Satan's obstacles and pass the faith test.
I take, I took, cause I can't wait to be closer to you.
Baby, you're so sweet, chicken the cavities. I get a stomachache if I can't be with you.
At night I fall asleep and I don't wanna wake up,
cause you are my dream, my heavenly creation.
Thank you for tuning in to Faith Talk Ministries Radio Show. I'm your host, The Love of Words. Our prayer is that everyone listening will come to the knowledge of the truth and develop a more personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly the way, the life, and the truth. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and no one will ever love you like He does. For God is love. Once again, friends, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to having more Faith Talk. Visit us at www.faithtalkministries.com. God bless you.